We're just so grateful that we can gather together like this in such freedom to praise you, worship you, Lord. What a privilege it is to be called a child of the Most High God. And Father, I thank you too that even as your word goes out this morning, that it's sharper than any two-edged sword, that your word goes out and does not return void, but that it accomplishes all that you have for it to accomplish. And Lord, in all that is said and all that is shared here this morning, may the name of Jesus be exalted in this place. And Father, we say thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Good. Isn't it good to be here?
Yes.
It's always good to be in church. Huh? Folks, we started it was going to be just one message last week, and as I was preparing it, I realize there's just too much to share, so it's become a two-part series. So the title of my message is Causes and the Solutions. Causes and the Solutions to Discouragement. And this is now part two in this kind of little mini-series. Now, last week we just had a look at a portion of scripture out of the book of Nehemiah. And we know that in Nehemiah, what it's all about, it was about rebuilding the wall in Jerusalem, is that right? But there were trials, there were tribulations, there were challenges, it was a very, very difficult thing for them to do. And in actual fact, the workers on the wall said, this can't be done. It's impossible. Remember, we looked at that scripture. And yet, with God, all things are possible. It was not only done, it was done in 52 days. So that was amazing. So as I said, we were looking at the book of Nehemiah, and we also learned that there can be many causes for discouragement, and that is what I focused on last week, was the causes of discouragement. You remember, it was the fatigue. They were fatigued. They were tired out. And when we get fatigued and tired, it's really an opportunity for discouragement to come in. We also saw that there was frustration. Remember, just the rubble everywhere. They were totally frustrated, and again, that's another reason for us to get discouraged. Remember failure as well. There was the fear of failure. They had been threatened. Is that right? They were told, and even by their relatives, that you know it was Sanballat and Tobiah and all of them. Remember that they were going to come along, get into behind the wall, and that they were going to kill them. They were going to kill them, and they were scared of failure because if they didn't build it quick enough, it's possible that these people could come in and actually do it. And then also, it was another thing that causes this discouragement is this thing of intimidation. When people are being intimidated, if you've been intimidated, or you are experiencing fear and intimidation, that is one of the oldest tricks that the evil one will use to discourage you. So I want to say, if you weren't here last week and you missed last week's message, do you know that we have a website? Go to www, and this is easy to remember, www.hiswaychurch. That's where you go, .co.za. And please have a listen to last week's message, because last week's message will obviously, put a context in terms of what we're speaking about here today. So today, like I said, we're going to be completing this kind of two-week mini-series. And so we're going to be looking at the solutions to discouragement. Last week we looked at the causes, so we're going to be having a look at the solutions. But what we're going to find, I think you'll find it quite interesting, that people like, now I'm going to give you some names here, and you've heard of these people because you've read about them in the Bible. Moses. You heard of Moses? Joshua. Elijah. Job. And Jonah. All of these men were mightily, mightily used by God, and yet they went through phases in their lives where they were so discouraged. And I chose these ones because they were not only discouraged, some of them wanted to commit suicide, and some of them wanted God to take them out. They all wanted to die because they were just so discouraged. And listen, if these men that were used in such a mighty way were feeling down at times and feeling discouraged at times, I'm sure there's a little bit of space for us to feel like that, but we need to know what the solution to this is. So let's pick it up. Let's just continue. I want to, you know, start off by continuing reading the story of how they were rebuilding the wall. And remember, it was Nehemiah was the one that was leading the team. Is that right? So I'm picking it up now in the Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 13. And again, now these, what we're going to be talking about today, are the solutions to discouragement. Verse 13, it says, so in the lowest parts of the space behind the wall in open places, I stationed the people by their clans. Now that's something I'll talk about right now. I stationed people by their clans. Now watch here. With their swords, with their spears, with their bows. You can see that they were armed to the teeth. Why would they be armed to the teeth? Because they were being intimidated. They were being threatened. They were really in a difficult place. And to the point, again, they said that it's impossible for us to complete this task. So they were well armed. Verse 14, and I looked, this is now Nehemiah speaking, and I looked and I rose and I said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, this is what he said to them, do not be afraid of them. And this is what I believe the Lord is saying to us as well. Whatever it is that is discouraging you or where you might be feeling, you know, fearful and so on, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of them. And then he says, remember the Lord who is great and awesome. Folks, we need to keep our focus in the right place. Let us not focus on the thing that is causing us to be discouraged. We need to take our eyes off that and to start to focus on the Lord who is great and awesome. And then he carries on and he says, not only must we focus on the Lord, he says, fight for your brothers and your sons and your daughters and your wives and your homes. In other words, he's saying to this group of people, remember why you are doing what you're doing. It's for your families. It's for the future. Your daughters, your sons, and so on. It says now, verse 15, it says, when our enemies heard that it was known to us that God had frustrated their plan, we all returned to the wall, each to his work. Now, what's very interesting, what takes place right here, that you can see that Nehemiah must have been consulting the Lord. Nehemiah was asking the Lord and said, Lord, sure, you know, I've got all these people, they're really discouraged, they're feeling down, they kind of think, you know, we're not going to be able to achieve what needs to be achieved. So he must have spent time with the Lord, and now the Lord actually gives him, we don't know at what point this is, but the Lord gives them a new strategy. Because the next verse says, from that day on, so what happened, you know, there's a change that took place. From that day on, half of my servants worked on construction, and half held their spears, their shields, their bows, their coats of mail, I mean, all this arms and ammunition and so on. And he says, and the leaders stood behind the whole house of Judah, who were building on the wall. Those who carried burdens were loaded in such a way that each labored on the work with one hand. Listen to this. One hand, with one hand they worked and held a weapon in the other. I mean, I don't know if they had wheelbarrows, so it must have been quite difficult. Holding one hand here, one on your weapon, and probably your foot to hold the other thing of the wheelbarrow. But I mean, this is what these guys were doing. Huh? So we can see that they were very concerned and one hand on their weapon. Now, what verse was I on? Okay, let me go back to 16. So it says, from that day on, half of my servants worked on construction and half held their spears and their shields and their bows and their coats of mail. And the leaders stood behind the whole house of Judah who were building on the wall. Those who carried burdens were loaded in such a way that each labored on the work with one hand, there it is, that's who I was, and held a weapon in the other. And each of the builders, now there was it looks like there was a different team of builders that were building the wall. It said each of the builders, they were allowed to use two hands. Each of the builders had his sword strapped to his side while he built. So he was ready, but he was building, but he had his sword strapped to his side while he built. And it says, and a man who sounded the trumpet was beside me. So there was somebody that would be blowing the trumpet. And he tells us a little bit about this person. It's a little later. And he says, and I said, this is Nehemiah. He says, I said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, the work is great. The work is great and widely spread. In other words, they've got few people, but they've got a group of people here, and then it would be a long way off. They would have another group of people working, and a long way off, they would have another group of people. He said it was widely spread as they were rebuilding this wall. And we are separated on the wall, far from one another. In the place, now he tells us, tells him, in the place where you hear the sound of the trumpet, remember the trumpet guy was next to him. He says, when you hear that trumpet, rally to us there, because that's where the problem is. And then he goes on to say, our God will fight for us, and we need to know that. God will fight for you in your situation. But again, folks, there are so many conditions in the Word of God, and I would say the main thing is that we need to make sure that we draw close to the Lord and that we have a deep relationship with Him. Is that true? As a child. Verse 21, so we labored at the work, and half of them held their spears from the break of dawn. So they were holding their spears from the break of dawn until the stars came out. Huh? Break of dawn. I also said to the people at that time, let every man and his servant pass the night within Jerusalem, that they may be a guard for us at night and labor by day. So some of these guys were not getting any sleep or very little sleep. They were, kind of guarding at night, and then that they were laboring. They were actually working during the course of the day. So neither I, nor my brothers, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me, none of us took off our clothes. Each kept his weapon at his right hand. So I don't know if you've gone and you've spent time reading the story, but we need to know the intimidation that was taking place, the threats that were taking place, the concerns that these people had. And they were just so intimidated. As I say, they were, just ready to fight, but there was a job that needed to be done. And of course, this was now to rebuild the wall. So what we want to do today is really have a look at some of the solutions now to discouragement. Let me ask you first, how many of you have been discouraged in the last 2 months? Oh my goodness, this is the perfect church again. This is just amazing. I love this church. Eh? No one is ever discouraged. We've all got it all together. Anyway, okay, I'm sure some of us have been discouraged. And if you didn't put up your hand, maybe I said 6 weeks, maybe it was in the seventh week. I understand. Okay, all right. The first thing, the first solution to discouragement is to bring in the reinforcement. Folks, this is a key. Bring in the reinforcement. If you are discouraged, when you are discouraged, call on the family of God. Call on brothers and sisters in Christ. Call on those people who you trust to stand with you, to pray with you, to, shoulder to shoulder with you. Why do we do that? It's to share the burden. And the word is very clear that we need to be doing that. Bringing in the reinforcements. He says in verse 13 of chapter 4, so in the lowest parts of the space behind the wall, in open places, I stationed the people by their families or by their clans. In other words, they were not by themselves. They were with people that they had a relationship. They were with people who they actually trusted. And we need to, and often we neglect this, when we're going through difficult times, when we're feeling discouraged, we choose not to call on our brothers and sisters to stand with us and pray with us. Folks, that's one of the reasons why we have that prayer box there. That is another reason why we often, just about every week, ask people if you need prayer. We need to be standing with one another if we are family. Amen? So he stationed them with their families, but not just with their families, with their swords and with their spears and with their bows. So now I said I wanted to talk about some of these mighty men that we read about that we think have got it all together, that are never discouraged and never kind of down in the dumps, because they are mighty men that we see in the Bible, and they've just got it all together. So let's speak about Moses first of all. Do you know that Moses, he's a great leader. Is that right? Can you imagine leading all of those people that he had to lead? So he was a great leader, and not only was he a great leader, he was a man that was actually handpicked by God. Is that true? That's what the Bible says. He was handpicked by God, and yet he became suicidal. How can you say that, Dave? Numbers 11:14. Let me read it to you. This is now Moses speaking. I'm not able to carry all these people alone. Ah, I can't do it alone. And him being alone, and that's why we need to get in the reinforcements. Him being alone was the problem. I'm not able to carry all of these people alone. The burden is too heavy for me. If you, now he's speaking to God, if you will treat me like this, kill me at once. You know, do it now, Lord. Just kill me. Just kill me at once. If I find favor in your sight, that I may not see my wretchedness. You can imagine the state that Moses must have been in, man. Just all these people whinging and groaning and moaning. And he goes away for a short while, and next thing they're out there and making little golden oxen and worshiping these things, the golden calf, whatever it was. You know, I mean, this is what he was dealing with. So he was in a place where he said, Lord, just kill me. I've had it. Can't do this. So here is now the Lord's solution to his discouragement. We pick it up in Numbers 11:16. And the Lord said to Moses, God speaking to him, gather for me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them to the tent of meeting, and let them take their stand there with you. In other words, hey, the solution is not doing it by yourself anymore, Moses. Go and get 70 of these men that you trust, right? These elders. And then carries on. He says, and I, this is God, I will come down and talk to them there. And I will take some of the Spirit, it's a capital S, which is God the Holy Spirit. I will take some of the Spirit that is on you and put it on them, that they may bear the burden of the people with you, so that you may not bear it alone. Alone. In other words, spreading the load. Right? Spreading the load. Getting people around you, folks, when you are discouraged. Is this clear? All right? So, you will not have to carry it alone. This is what we've seen here. Folks, we need to find somebody around us to actually stand with us and to work with us and to support us. The point I'm making here is don't do it alone, okay, when you're feeling discouraged. And we see it's scriptural. Solution number two to discouragement, prayer. I mean, that's an obvious one, huh? When you are feeling down, when you are feeling discouraged, we need to go to the Lord in prayer. And you know what prayer does, folks? Prayer gets us to focus on our Creator and take our focus off our problem, our situation. This is what the Lord wants for us. We need to pray, right? So let me say it. When you're feeling discouraged, call on God. Call on God and, you know, take it to Him. We see in Nehemiah, as they were building the wall, chapter 4, verse 9, it says, and we prayed to our God and set a guard as a protection against them day and night. So he continually was inquiring of the Lord. Now, another person that we'll find very interesting is Joshua. How many of you have heard of Joshua in the Bible? Huh? Joshua was also, he was a great leader, but he was a great general. Joshua was a general, and another one that was actually handpicked by God to lead Israel into the promised land. Great, great leader, Joshua. And he felt like giving up. He really felt so discouraged, and he felt like giving up. And you know what happened is that, you know, Joshua, when he led God's people into the promised land, what was the first battle that they fought? Who remembers?
Huh? The people that were with them went back and discouraged them.
Yes, the people, you're right. The people, that was when they sent the 12 spies in, into the promised land. Right, when they came out, remember, 2 gave a good report, 10 didn't. And it was as a result of that, they landed up in the wilderness for 40 years. But now, this is now, right at the end of this, Moses is now dead, and Joshua is the guy that is leading God's people into this promised land. And the first one battle they come across is Jericho. Huh? You remember Jericho? And God gave them incredible strategy on how to defeat Jericho. You know, if you read about it, it's just amazing. You remember the last one, then they had to walk around the city, the wall. And what he did is he didn't put the army in the front. He put the praisers and the worshippers in front. So God gave him, and there was a great victory at Jericho. Is that right? So old Josh, he must have said, gee, this is so cool. You know, God is with us. So now there's another battle. The next one was, it was Ai. Who remembers the story with Ai? So Joshua thought, oh, well, let's just take a few of you, okay? Sends them out. Let's pick up the story. And as I say, he felt like giving up after this because it says in Joshua 7 verse 8, he says, oh Lord, this is the battle of Ai. Oh Lord, what can I say? When Israel has turned their backs before their enemies. So they went to fight against Ai, and then they turned their backs. What does that mean? They were running away. They were running away from them. They ran away. And of course, this is this mighty general. Now he's really bent out of shape about this. And then he says in verse 9, so he says, now, for the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear about this. They're going to hear that we went out, we took out, you know, the Jericho, but as soon as we come against, you know, little Ai, these guys turned on us and they chased us. So he says, the inhabitants of the land will hear of this, and they're going to surround us, and they're going to cut our name from the earth. They're going to just make sure that we don't exist anymore. That's how concerned he was. And then he says to God, and he says, and what will you do for your great name, God? You know, these people are going to take us out, but what will you do for your great name? So, you know, during this time of discouragement, Joshua obviously spent time with the Lord, and he spent time praying right there. And folks, again, prayer is the best antidote to any form of discouragement because we take our eye off the problem. It's important for us. So, we focus on the Lord. So is that helpful? When we pray. The next one, solution to discouragement that we see in this portion of Scripture. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. It's not now us just spending time in prayer with Him, but we need to remember who God is. Who God is. And we need to know that He is great. And we need to know that He is awesome. Folks, we need to find rest in the Lord, eh? And be refreshed. How do we get refreshed? It's by the Word of God and also being in His presence. So you can read the Word of God, and this is not praying, just reading the Word of God and allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to you. Allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. So Nehemiah 4:14, let me read it. It says, and I looked and arose and I said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Now I shared last week that this thing of fear, that fear is a spirit. Is that right? The Bible talks about the spirit of fear. And let me say, folks, as believers in Jesus, we have authority over the spirit of fear. And we need to rise up and use our authority. So none of us should be in a place now where we are experienced, you know, living in fear. And if you are, please, let's pray with you. Let's chase that thing away. Amen. Deal with it. But he says, do not be afraid of them. And the next words that come out of his mouth, he says, remember the Lord who is great and awesome. Okay, in other words, again, keeping your focus. We keep our focus in the right place. And then he says, and fight for your brothers and your sons and your daughters and your wives and your homes and so on. Now, talking about this, you know, remembering that God is great and God is awesome. You know, there's another person in the Bible that we can have a look at. And his name is Elijah. Have you all heard of Elijah? Now, Elijah was a great prophet, huh? A great prophet in the Old Testament. And what happened with Elijah, just part of the story, is that he challenged the idolatry of his day, and he called down fire from heaven. Is that true? He called down fire from heaven. Now, there were 450 prophets of Baal, there was a bit of a face-off going on there. But he called down fire from heaven, and the 450 prophets of Baal were destroyed as a result of him calling down fire from heaven. Now, so basically what happened there is that there was this face-off, and of course he won the face-off with the prophets of Baal. He was victorious. You know, he was still mocking them. Do you remember he still said, well, maybe your God has gone to the loo, and go and read about it. No, it said that. Maybe your God has gone to the loo, you know, what's happening? And then he called down fire from heaven. But the problem is that right after that, can you imagine going out there and calling down fire from heaven and destroying the 450 prophets of Baal? Straight after that, he became so discouraged. You know why? Because Jezebel, Ahab's wife, she basically said, hey, Sporty, you took out 450 of my prophets. I'm coming for you. I'm coming for you. Man, folks, the Jezebel spirit is a very, maybe we'll do a teaching on it sometime, but it's a very, very powerful spirit. It normally is, you know, a spirit that's kind of in women, but it's also in men, but probably not to the same extent. But so she just said to him, hey, I'm coming for you. So he runs straight off to this big victory, okay, calling fire down from heaven. And he runs to get away from her. Let's pick it up in 1 Kings 19, verse 4. It says, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. And he came and he sat down under a broom tree. And he asked, watch him. Now this is this mighty guy. He asks that he might die, saying, is it enough, O Lord? Take away my life, God. Kill me. Huh? That's what he said. Is it on the screen?
Yeah.
Take away my life, for I am now no better than my fathers. Here is God's encouragement to him. 1 Kings 19:7. And the angel of the Lord came to him again, a second time, and touched him, and said, arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you. And he arose, and he ate, and he drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. So folks, when God revealed himself to him again as a God who is great, a God who is awesome, this is what the turnaround was. And it's something that we need to be mindful of. Let's never forget how great our God is. Amen? Solution number four? Huh? Who's listening? Number four, to discouragement. Now, this is another one that's really, really important. Folks, we need to, at times, when you're feeling discouraged, change our position. Change our position. Do something different. Because we know the story, you know, there's something wrong with all of us if we keep on doing the same thing over and over and over and over again and then we expect a different result. It's not going to happen. Is that true? So, and that's what he says, do something different. Change our position. So when, you know, we are discouraged, we need to reposition ourselves to a from a position of doubt and maybe reposition ourselves from a position of defeat into a position of faith and into a position of victory. Now, we need to make sure that we choose to make a stand, and we need to make a decision to change the way we are actually doing things. So we stand now on the word of God and no longer on our doubt. And we see this in this. Remember I said Nehemiah spent time with the Lord, and God said to him, well, basically it says, from that day on. So there was a change that took place, a new strategy. It says, from that day on, half of my servants worked on construction and half held spears and shields and bows and coats of mail. So they're now doing something different because they want a different result. And the leader stood behind the whole house of Judah. So what we see here is that Nehemiah actually repositioned, you know, his people for victory after he had spent time with the Lord. And, you know, so he made the necessary adjustments. And folks, at times when we're discouraged, think about it and make a change. Amen. Now, there's somebody else that we see in the Bible that did exactly the same thing. How many of us know or have read about Job? Yeah. How many of us get excited when we start reading the book of Job? Huh? But folks, if you ever, when you speak about Job, you know, he's known for faith, is that right? He was really an incredible man, Job. And also he's known for patience. You often hear about the patience of Job. So when Job lost everything, he wished that he had not been born. Here's another one. Wished he had not been born. He was so discouraged. And, you know, and in actual fact, he became suicidal and he became extremely, extremely depressed for a period of time. Job 3:3, and this is what he says. He says, let the day perish on which I was born, and the night that said, a man is conceived. How's that? Another one. Just wanting not to be on the planet anymore. Huh? But folks, here is God's solution to Job. Here's God's encouragement to Job. How many of you know that Job, when he was going through all of these terrible things, and we know the story and how it happened, if you don't know, please go and read the story. It's very interesting. But basically, when he was going through these difficult times, his so-called friends, his friends came around him. And they were saying to Job, man, it's your fault. You've sinned. You're a sinner. And they climbed into old Job. And I mean, I put myself in the position of Job, and do you really want friends like this? I mean, they were really horrible. You know, the way they spoke to him and just really disrespected him and told him that, you know, the reason why he's gone through all of this is because of his sin. But watch what he did. Now, this is God's solution. This is Job 42, verse 10. And the Lord restored the fortunes of Job. So he lost everything. Remember, he lost everything. And it says, it tells us, when he prayed for his friends. And Job must have looked at these friends and thought that they were enemies. How many of you want to pray for somebody that has really disrespected you and, you know, told you that you are a bad sinner and, you know, just, do you really feel like praying for them? I'm just saying. Is there anybody that would want to pray for a friend like that? I mean, we know we're supposed to. But Job did it. It says, and the Lord restored the fortunes of Job. When did he do it? When he prayed for his friends. When he did something different. When he did something unusual. He had actually, you know, must have heard from the Lord, and the Lord probably said, you will pray for these guys. And he was obedient. He did it. And as he did it, the word says that God restored. And the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. And remember, he was a very wealthy man. So, folks, we can see here that Job also changed his position, right? He changed his position from being in a place where he was crying and whinging and moaning and complaining to a position where he made a decision to pray for his friends that had been so disrespectful to him. He prayed for them. Final one. Are we still here? Should we turn it into a three-part series? Discouragement, solution number five. We need to reflect on God's power and God's love. Now, when we are discouraged, and we will be discouraged from time to time in whatever we're doing, okay, we need to know that God will fight for us. Why does God fight for us? Because we are His children and He loves us. And it says in Nehemiah 4 verse 20, in the place where you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. It says, our God will fight for us. Tell the person next to you, our God will fight for us. Tell the person on the other side, our God will fight for us. Now, there's an interesting story with this, because there was a guy by the name of Jonah. How many of us know the story of Jonah? Now, you know that Jonah now wanted God to kill him. He did. Why? Because he was discouraged and he was depressed and he was down in the dumps and he was not happy. You know what? Jonah wasn't happy. You remember God said, you know, go to Nineveh. And what does Jonah do? He heads in the opposite direction. Is that true? Yeah, he went in the opposite direction. He goes off in the opposite. The reason, if you go and read it and study that, you know, deep down in Jonah's heart, he hated the Assyrians. He hated the Assyrians. And he said, he knew that God is a just God and that God loves people and God wants to see people drawn to Him. And he wasn't happy that, you know, to go and do what God wanted him to do because he just didn't like these people. And sometimes, folks, we need to get over our prejudice. Is that true? All right? So I said he was down and he was discouraged and so on. And then God showed him something that he could actually reflect on and help him to understand things better. God showed him, first of all, his love for people. Jonah didn't like those people, the Assyrians. And God also showed him his power. We pick it up in Jonah 4:10. And the Lord said, talking to Jonah, you pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in the night and perished in the night. You remember that plant grew quickly and kind of shaded him, and he was in the shade and he was happy with the plant. Then God says, should not I pity Nineveh, God speaking to him, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, or their left from their right, and also much cattle. What does it say there? They don't know their left from their right. Folks, God loves people. And sometimes we don't like people. And because we don't like people, we don't want to do what God has called us to do. We need to just be obedient. So our times, in those times of discouragement, they're often, as a result, you know, when we're in it, that we can be short foresight. We can't see past. We can't see the big picture. We just see what we see. We don't see, you know, what the Lord sees out there. So really, we need to keep our focus on God and, you know, make sure that as we focus on Him, knowing that the situation will change, because we change our situation when we focus on Him and not on our problem. And also remember that He loves you. God loves you. And remember, too, that He will never leave you or forsake you because He loves you, because you are His child. And also to remind yourself over and over again what an awesome God He is and how powerful He is. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.